Well, good morning. God bless each one of you for taking time to call in, the time in the busy time of summer, where there are many other things to be done, many other responsibilities, but lay those things aside and just take time to get into the Word of God can be a real blessing. And also, I'm so thankful that we don't, that this is the privilege we have with modern technology, that you don't have to necessarily be on here on a Saturday morning if you have another schedule or responsibilities, but you can call in later and listen into these studies, and I'm thankful for that. Let's pray before we begin this morning. Father in heaven, this morning we bow down before your almighty hand and guidance again. Oh, that we would humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that we might give ourselves fully to you in full surrender. May we, even as Paul has taught so clearly, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, and then realize that this is only our reasonable service. So, Father, I pray that that might be our hearts, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We want to know your will, Lord. We are living in a battlefield here where the enemy is raging, and we stand no chance on our own. We need you, Lord. We're so thankful that we have you on our side. You have told us very clearly that you will never leave or forsake us, but you will be with us always, even unto the end of the earth. And Father, this morning we pray, God, would you lead us now as we think of this subject, this topic we've been entering into, and that is on God's divine design for the whole, and that you might give us wisdom and grace. For Lord, we, most of us, have children that we are seeking to train up in the way that they should go. Train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Train them up to serve you, to be of value in your kingdom, where they can truly show forth the praises of you, Father, and to sound the trumpet of truth to a lost and dying world. But Father, lead us this morning to this grace and wisdom. I pray, Lord, you would help me to speak only those things which you desire for me to speak, which is your heart, Father, in heaven. So be with us, guide us, Lord. Bless each one that's listening in. And may your special anointing go on these messages, Father, that truly the Lord Jesus, our Father in heaven, might be glorified and praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last Saturday we spoke on God's divine design for the home, spoke a little bit on God's divine headship order, how things are to function, something that has been so, that even the Christian world has deviated so far from the design of God's headship, or God's design of headship order. This morning I'd like to speak on God's desire for a child-parent relationship. We'd like to enter into that. If I know there's much more could be spoken on these things, and but I just feel like I want to touch on some of these and enter into some of these discussions, because I feel there's such a tremendous need. I believe that one of the greatest needs in America today is the need for families to function in the way that God designed for them to function. And one of them is in relationship between parents and children, especially the father. And you might say, well, Brother Melvin, why do you say that? Why? What makes you think that this is such a great need? And I believe that we can see in the Scriptures, we turn into the Word of God. It seems to me, as I study the Word of God, especially as we, in the close of the Old Testament, I sense God's heart in something that has touched me and has moved me for many years already, what I see there, and that is that I believe that man had departed so far from God's design that God cried out to mankind through the words of the prophets, through the last prophet. And I'd just like to look at the Word of God in this morning and try to understand God's heart. You know, it's interesting that we have the whole Old Testament. We have those those thousands of years there of since creation, and God is working with mankind. He's working with them, and he's taking them on. First of all, he sees them departing the way they did way back in the garden. Sin entered in, and then he had Noah come forth because man was so wicked. Things upon the earth were so wicked. The very thoughts and intents of their heart were only evil continually, and he purged the world, we might say. He kept Noah and his sons' wives, and started over, so to speak, and the world began to fill up again, and he called out a man, Abraham, that man that was willing to serve him, and called him out to start a great nation, to be a witness to the rest of the world, and that they would win the world into the ways of God. And what we find as we go on through this, as we go on through the Old Testament, that these people of God, which were so called, ended up with the enemy of truth working in them so much that they ended up being almost consumed in their own needs. The ministry of these people, they were supposed to be these people that are reaching out to the world, and they end up being the people that in many places and times were so consumed in their own needs that they didn't get much out reaching out done. As a matter of fact, it seemed like the world penetrated into their ranks, into their midst, and did a lot of devastating damage. And the heart of God is still that this world would serve him. And we see this going on. We see them coming into the land of Canaan, and we find that they didn't obey God and wipe out all the heathen nations and become a holy nation there for him. But they intermarried with the people of Canaan and ended up becoming defiled and back into worshiping idols. And we just see that all the way through. Then we have the seers coming along and speaking forth for God. And then we have the prophets speaking forth God's heart. And this goes on and on and on. And then we come to the end of the New Testament, the Old Testament there. And something that has really stood out to me, there's a few things here. In Malachi, the last prophet there in the Old Testament, in the second last chapter, there's a verse that has been a real blessing to me. It says in Malachi 3, verse 16, it says, "And they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." We got a picture there of fellowship. Those that feared the Lord, they spake often one to another. There were still some there that were functioning in a design of what we would call today almost like a church life, of a brotherhood that spoke to one another, they encouraged one another, they fellowshiped together. And that has been an encouragement for me, even in the deterioration of the integrity of God's people by this time. But then we find in the last chapter here in Malachi, and we go to the last verse, just amazing to me, right at the very end, we might say the last words of God to the people for over 400 years of silence. There were close to right around 400 years that God did not speak to mankind through any prophet. There were no prophets. It was just 400 years of silence before the New Testament. And the last words of that book have really gone to my heart. It says here that, "Behold," in the second last verse says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now, as I read that word and I look at it, I get a picture there that God, it has been God's heart that a family, which he designed way back in the Garden of Eden, would be a unit. A unit that has a bonding of heart. A unit that flows together as a unit. A unit that communicates. A unit that shares hearts. A unit where the children's hearts are knit together with the father's hearts, and the father's hearts are knit with his children. And I think as God looked upon earth, he saw that this has far departed from that. As a matter of fact, if we go through the Old Testament, we go through the prophets and go through the kings and all those things, we find many times children would even tried to, would even slay the father to get his kingdom. And then we find siblings slaying one another to get the kingdom. Just the hatred and the disorientation, we might say, or the things were very disoriented at times and very, how can we say, just some devastating home situations as we go through the Word of God in the Old Testament there. And here we find the heart of God here again, and he talks about he gives the promise there of this coming Messiah, Elijah, the prophet, which was John, coming to make the way for the Lord. And he gives some of these prophecies, and he says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. I'm going to send you this man, and what he is going to do is turn the hearts of the fathers to the children." He doesn't say that this John the Baptist is going to come and he's going to start preaching repentance and he's going to do this, he's going to do that. A lot of things that we might think of, but the thing he mentioned is turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. That has been quite a challenge to me in looking at that. And then when we turn 400 years later, we find this. When the angel came to Zechariah and told him about a son that would be born to him and Elizabeth, these are the words that he said. "And he shall go before him," this is found in Luke 1:17, "and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah." What about John the Baptist will go before the coming Messiah. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now what I get out of this is one of the basics here that God is looking at is that he wants a family unit. He wants the hearts of children and their fathers to be knit together. The question I have for us this morning, and as we look out over America today, this is a tremendous need. I just have a question for you listeners this morning. Do you have your child's heart? And if nothing else in this morning's topic with if you remember nothing else, I want this word, this little phrase ringing in your ears if you're a daddy this morning, if you're a papa, if you're a father in a home, or if you're a mother. Do you have your child's heart? Do you have your children's heart? And you may say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I hope I can explain that as we go on here. And as we go through this and we see this here, is God saying here that his heart, from his heart, that the way the home is functioning is not functioning in the divine design that he had planned from the beginning? I think that's what he's saying. I think he is saying that because he tells us that he will send this prophet Elijah, "I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the children of the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now the picture I get there is that if the hearts of the children and the hearts of the fathers are not knit together, there will be a curse come upon this earth. I think that's what we see in America today. We know that as a whole, the hearts of the fathers and the children are not knit together, especially when we go out into the world. But let's just come back into the church and say, where are we? Where are we? This is something that I have seen a tremendous need in the conservative Anabaptist home. A lack of relationship between fathers and sons and daughters and mothers and fathers and daughters and sons and mothers. There's a lack. There is a lack of relationship there. It has burdened my heart so much to see how little that parents really have their children's heart. But it's God's heart that we have. Now here we are, almost 2,000 years later, and living in a land here in America where God the home is one of the most powerful tools to reach out to the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand what I mean by that term, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Das Evangelium von Christus Jesus. What what that means, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, the gospel simply means the teachings of Jesus Christ. We are in a land where there's a great need for the teachings of Jesus Christ. And you might say, well, Brother Mel, why do you say that? Well, we have to understand that Jesus taught us very clearly that He is the answer of all men's needs. He tells us in John 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. The question I have for us this morning is, do we really believe that? Are we trying to find another way? Are we trying to find a way to the Father other than through Jesus Christ? Are we trying to find it through some church denomination or some certain church teaching or some whatever it may be, some baptism or something? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. As a matter of fact, he teaches us very clearly that if any man comes in any other way than through the door, and he says, I am the door of the sheepfold. He says, any man that comes in any other way, he's a thief and a robber. Jesus Christ is the way. So we want his teaching. We want his doctrine. We want to know what Jesus is teaching us and wanting us to live by. And we also want the world to know that. That is the need of the world today. In Colossians 2, verse 6, it says this way, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. The question for us this morning is, have you first of all received him? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? As your all in all, as your guide and direction, as that which you must have if you want to be a part of eternal life. So walk in him. Walk with him foremost in your life. Rooted and built up in him, the Bible says, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Oh, may we beware this morning that we are not deceived through vain deceit or through the philosophy of men, or spoiled, turned away in a wrong way, after the tradition of men, after what men say, well, this is the tradition, we go this way, and we are steered in a way of following some tradition or something, and gets our eyes off of Christ. It says very clearly, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We should take heed that lest any man would spoil us to do this, and not follow Christ only. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I just want to again lift up Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life this morning, and how much we need his teaching. And ye are complete in him. Don't ever let anyone try to tell you otherwise. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Ye are complete in him. That means we are complete in Christ Jesus. If you find yourself struggling with sin and you're struggling with anything, come to Jesus. If you find your life loose and too many loose ends, come to Jesus. We are complete in him. He is the way and the truth and the life. And he is the head of all principality and power. He said before he ascended into heaven, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. We want to realize that Jesus Christ is the all-powerful one, the all-exalted one. Now, why is a home functioning God's design such a powerful tool in reaching out to a lost and dying world? It's because so many people are hurting. That's why. There's a hurting world out there. Very, very hurting world. There are so many people out there that are hurting, and they're damaged with the damage that was inflicted by their upbringing, or they are hurting because of the way their own family is functioning, and they don't know what to do about it. They really need Jesus. That's what they need. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is the answer to all our needs. We are complete in Him. You know, there's a world out there that is raising kids. But the Bible tells us to train up our children. And so years ago I looked at this and it really struck me. The difference in raising kids or training children. And I'm not sure if I mentioned this last Saturday or not, but I wasn't quite sure. I was talking to some people about it since then and had a message in a meeting concerning that. And I'm going to say it again. I'm not sure anymore if I mentioned it last week or not. But I remember looking at this and getting a picture of the difference. I used to raise goats at one time. And basically what I did is I'd put them in a pen and I'd feed them and I'd watch them grow. That's how you raise kids. You know, kids are baby goats. And I don't know why the world has come along and started naming these precious gifts of God kids. Anymore, it's a common term. And I don't want to be judgmental here, but it has bothered me. Because the fact of the matter is, what is a grown kid? A grown kid is a goat. The Bible tells us that when Jesus returns, He will put the goats on the left and the sheep on the right. And I'm afraid the majority of the world today is simply raising kids. And when they're all done, they're going to have grown goats. The Bible says the goats will be put on the left and the sheep on the right. But the Word of God tells us to train up a child. Now, to train up a child, first of all, you take that child and you work with them. You teach them the ways of God. You teach them the truth. You watch them very carefully as they grow. You shield them from the wiles of the devil. You shield them from the onslaughts of the enemy of the world. And you teach them the ways of truth to where once they are older, when they get a little older, they can go into these stores or go into these places without having the effects of it. We have to prepare them to withstand the enemy, but they need to be shielded and protected, and that protection and shield, then as we continue teaching them, their teaching becomes their shield. They develop conviction in their own heart, and they can walk into places or go places where these worldly temptations are, and they won't even focus on them. They won't even look at them. And I'd just like to give you a quick little picture of this that God has given me a vision for years ago. When we first lived in New York, my oldest son had turned 16 years old, and he had was working for a brother that was about 50 miles to travel every morning to work, because his brother had a business and was planning to move into our area, but hadn't moved yet. Well, I went out and bought a little car for him to go to work with. And I bought the car, and he was using this car for about 2 weeks, and all of a sudden it dawned on me that car had a radio in it, and I had never disconnected it. And it just troubled me that, you know, what if I put a temptation in front of my son, and here he would have fallen into this and would be listening to this radio. And so I took him aside, and I just apologized. I said, "I'm very sorry. I totally forgot about that radio." I said, "Have you been tempted with that thing?" He looked at me and said, "No, Dad." He said, "No, I never even turned it on." He said, I didn't want any part of that." You know, that just encouraged me so much that we can put a shield in our children from the world. But it must go to the heart. It must come. That's what raising, what training children is all about. When we are able to somehow put conviction in their hearts, where they are not out there just shielded in a literal way with a fence around them, and every time that they're out of our sight, they're out there doing whatever they wish. But that was just a very encouraging experience that I had. I felt very unworthy. I did disconnect then just because of the rest of the family, possibly, you know. But I do believe, you know, I know there are church groups that take strong stands against some of these things, but do very little teaching. And I just know of the testimony of young people that were totally forbidden any access to radio or television, but these young people, they they would rent a U-Haul truck to do something, and some of these young people would go out and travel some distance, and they'd have that radio going the whole way, and then they'd go to a motel and watch TV almost all night. And, you know, there was no conviction in the heart. Yet the church had taken very strict standards against those things. And what I'd like to encourage you in this morning is not speaking against standards, not at all, but all go beyond that. Go beyond the letter and go to the heart of your children and teach them so that they can be, if they're ever in a motel room and they have that TV right in front of them, there's nothing in them that wants to go turn that thing on and get into this ungodly stuff. That is what training children is all about. That's what we are to do. We're not to raise kids. We are to train children. And I think that's the difference, and I often thought about that. You know, when you raise kids, you end up with grown goats. When you train children, you end up with grown adults that are able to make proper, good decisions and are able to walk with God. As they commit their lives to Him then. Something that I've been burdened about, and, you know, a lot of the children out there in the world today, they do not have the security of having a two-parent unit to go to with their growing up pains and trials. Many of them don't have that two-parent unit. But, and we might say, and some of you listeners this morning would say, well, we, you know, we're in a denomination. We don't believe in divorce and remarriage. We believe in staying together. But, you know, staying together or having that unit is much more than just staying together. I'm afraid, and I'm sure that I'm right in this because I've heard too many testimonies, that there are many, many families in the plain circle where children grow up in a home where mom and dad do not flow together in unity. There's a rift in the home. There's a separation in the home. And maybe in a lot of cases, almost a spiritual divorce. Where there's really no heart for one another. Where there's really no heart to work together. The wife works against the father against them. They have very little close unity and communication. The children sense that one feels one way, the other feels the other way. And there the children are in this divisive setting. And are supposed to grow up in that. I don't know who you are listening in on this morning, but I plead with you if this is your case. Just get a little bit of a glimpse of what you are doing, the damage that you're doing to your children. Children desperately need a heart-to-heart oneness in the home between the parents. That's one of the strongest things. I have done quite a bit of counseling to parents that had problems with their children or problems in the home. And I've often said, you know, you can take a family that has needs. He may have some faults, she may have some faults, may even make some bad mistakes. But when he and his wife work together in oneness and she never stands against him in the presence of the children, it's amazing. I've seen children come out of that very stable, very clear, living a life for the Lord. Then I've seen other homes where he doesn't make any mistakes. I mean, he lives a very good life, and things look very well. But the wife has stood against him and disagreed with him or tore him down, and the children, one after another, have just simply fallen by the wayside and are out in the world today. I don't believe that we realize the need. You know, children are created in a way that they are just like sponges. They're willing to learn. They want to learn. They are looking to the parents for direction. They have many unanswered questions in life, and they are naturally looking to you as their parents for the answers. Do you have your child taught? The Bible gives us many instructions as parents. There's so much in the Word. I'm not going to go into all of them. Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 through 12. Here God is speaking to the children of Israel, and he says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. First of all, the question I have to you as parents, have the truth in your heart. It shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. You know, the truths of God shall be as frontlets between our eyes. And what I get from that is that when we look at situations in the world, the truth of God, His Word and His will, stands between us and that thing we're looking at. Therefore, we see all situations through the truth of God as a frontlet between our eyes. And I know that was something that the priests and back in those days hung between their eyes, but I like to see this in a spiritual sense, that we have God's Word and His truth and the doctrine of Christ so real in our lives that we face the situations of life through the truth of God. And we as parents are to do this. And it goes on, it says here, thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. It shall be all around us. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, then thou shalt have eaten and be full. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And I tell you, I want to warn you. We sit here in Lancaster County, and I'm not just saying Lancaster County, but a lot of other counties, where children are coming and they're inheriting the farms and the homes that their fathers have given them. They don't know what hardship really is. They don't know what it was to take a stand for their truth, for truth. And the warning is here. Take heed. Beware lest you forget the Lord. And I think that's a real danger. We just get caught up in the things of life, go on trying to live the things the way that we know, but we're not seeking the Lord and seeking His way, seeking the doctrine of Christ, the teachings of Jesus. God's design is that children are taught by their parents. That's God's design. We see it again and again in the Word of God. And I say especially along the line of the facts of life. Why did our secular schools come up with sex education? We say, well, that's totally wrong. And I know the effects have come out wrong. But why did they do it? Because our society ended up with a lot of premarital pregnancies, with teenage girls ending up pregnant, and they wondered why, what's going on here, and they found out there's a lot of this stuff going on amongst teenagers, immorality going on, and the parents had pretty well shut their eyes, but the problem was they weren't teaching their children moral purity. So as always, the secular society takes up the teaching because it's not being done, and they do it all wrong. I think we find that even in public education. I believe it is God's heart that we teach our children. Our public schools today are not babysitters, and that's what's happening. Parents simply give their children food, send them off to kindergarten, and they come home and they give them food, stick them to bed. They don't teach their children, they're expecting the schools to do it, and it will not work. And we homeschool our children, and that's a tremendous blessing for us, but I'm not here I'm not that pro-homeschooling. I believe you can have a Christian school. But oh, don't try to let the school raise your children. You as parents have a responsibility, and it's God's heart that we train our children. But especially along the line of the facts of life, you know, the question still comes back, do you have your child's heart? You know, a child's heart is made to give. Our hearts are made to give. Everybody will eventually give their heart to someone or something. And I believe it's God's will that we as parents have that heart. If we don't get the heart of that child, the child's going to give that heart to someone else. And if we don't teach them the things of life, I have found teaching my children the facts of life and moral purity at a young age has been a tremendous way of getting into their hearts, winning their hearts, having them come to Daddy with the questions of life instead of to their peers, their friends, and a wrong source. The devil may try to make you believe as parents that they are innocent. Well, we don't want to waken up things in them that are innocent. Oh, don't be deceived. I've counseled with too many young people that even if nothing else, even if they were shielded from friends, they actually stumbled upon immorality. Or they came upon some immoral books or something and were defiled for life and had terrible struggles getting through it. I want to encourage you, parents, be alert. Get into the hearts of your children. Know what's going on. Go after that child's heart at a very young age. It can be done. And I don't have time this morning to go into the details. I hope that later I can speak some more of that, how to get a child's heart. Remember, hearts are made to give, either to you as a parent or to their peers. You have your child's heart. Go after it. It is God's divine design that you have that heart. I see time is up here. I'm going to leave it at that. Maybe you're saying I have lots of questions. Well, feel free to call me. I hope I can cover this some more in later teaching as we go on and look at these subjects of God's divine design for the home. God bless you all. May God be with you.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. To return to the main menu, press 0. You may leave us a message by pressing 099. Or, if you would rather speak to us in person, you may call us on our cell phones. For Mose, dial 717-656-9576. For Don, dial 717-606-2811. For Jeff, dial 423-618-9491. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 088. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 077. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.